Hello, this is the AusMed Handover Podcast. My name is Darren Wake, and today I'm going to be talking to three extraordinary graduate nurses. To start off our conversation, I really want to take us back to your pre-university days. What attracted you to the profession and what made you want to be a nurse?
Right, the main reason why I want to become a nurse is, well, I always want to help people because I used to do a lot of volunteer work in a hospital setting, and I saw that vulnerable people sitting in the emergency department.
Yeah.
That made me really, really want to go in and help them officially, but I don't have the license. Yeah, so that's why I did a degree of nursing, and now I'm working in the hospital setting and I can help them out, do assessment on them. Also, I do a lot of volunteer work in the aged care setting, and when they get sick, I can't do anything about that, except I can only call an ambulance to send them to the hospital. So one day I picked that course, and that's why I'm here. I'm doing a degree.
Two.
My older brother actually was diagnosed with epilepsy when I was, he would have been about 13, so I would have been about 10 or 11. And it was, it wasn't the most severe case, but he was allergic to basically every epilepsy med under the sun.
Right.
So spent a lot of time in and out of neurology wards for a good 5-6 years, and had a big impact on my family and everything.
Yeah.
And I just have really good memories of all the nurses on those wards who,
right,
you know, made the experience easier for myself and my family, and especially my brother. So
yeah.
For me, similar to Sue, I have previous experience with family going into hospital and sort of seeing what it's like to be on that side of that sort of setting.
Yeah.
But also in my family in particular, we've got both my brothers are in the health field as well, so I've always had a kind of fascination for medicine, that sort of thing, and same thing again, wanting to help and be with people.
Yeah.
I worked a lot in retail, and surprisingly enough, there's a lot of similarities between retail and nursing, that you're always with people, but getting to add that health twist to it is nice.
So the common theme I hear is you want to help people, but what did you think, what form did you think that would take when you were actually, this is before you actually got to the court, how did you think you would be helping people as a nurse? What did you think nurses do?
There's always that, was it expectation that, you know, nurses, all they do is clean bottoms and deal with bodily fluids, which yes, we do.
Yeah.
But to me, I found nurses as the person who was always there. You've got the doctors, you've got everybody else, but in my mind, even before going into nursing, was that they're the ones who are there 24/7.
Yes.
And they spend all the time with the patient. And, you know, people ask me, why don't you want to be a doctor instead? And I say, well, the doctor sees a patient for 5 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day maximum, whereas as a nurse, you get to be there all the time, and you get to know them, and you get to legitimately be there and help them in that very moment for whatever they need.
So you kind of get to understand what their values are.
That's right. You get to see what's important. It's not just about a diagnosis. It's, you know, whatever in that moment that they need. If they need help going to the toilet, I'm there.
Yeah.
But if they need emotional support, or if they need medicine, I can help with all fields of that.
Yeah.
I'm not just a doctor who's there prescribing something.
Yeah.
I find there's a lot more value, well, to me anyway, a lot more value in what a nurse does.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with, you know, the idea of nurses as carers, I guess there's a
a lot of TV shows and movies really focus on these big, dramatic, emotional moments. Yeah. And I have to admit, you know, I had some ideas or conceptions around that going into nursing. But, you know, you very quickly find out those, you know, if those happened 24/7, you'd be so emotionally drained you couldn't actually do anything. So it is much more, but it's about the little things. You know, you have patients who are just, you know, maybe it's not a big dramatic, you know, moment, but they're tired, they're vulnerable, they're just, they need someone to smile at them and tell them it's gonna be okay.
And it's the small thing for other people's perspective, but in patient's own perspective, it can be a really big thing for them. For example, if they have a knee replacement, they need to go to the toilet and they can't go by themselves, because so we are here to help. And there's actually one patient asked me yesterday, and then he was like, Peter, do you get sick of like washing people's bum and just helping people to toilet and stuff like that? And I answer that, well, for your perspective, maybe I'm just washing your body, but in my perspective, I'm a nurse. I actually do a lot of assessment in between. For example, I check your skin assessment. I make sure there's no pressure ulcer. I make sure all your skin are intact. And that is our assessment, not just washing your body. And when you help you to the toilet, I can assess your mobility, skill, and I can assess your ADL, because you are in hospital, you have someone help you to the toilet, but what about when you go home? So I need to do all this assessment to contribute into the whole healthcare team to decide providing care for you and
and recovery. I think especially with some of, you know, things that people get embarrassed by, like going to the toilet in front of others, I think there's, you know, something to be said where, you know, at this point, I've seen it so many times that it doesn't faze me. And by having somebody there who's not fazed by it, patients realize, oh, okay, it's not something, like, it's not a big deal. They can kind of relax and they can just focus on more important things. So,
Before you did your first clinical placement as an undergraduate, what did you think nurses would be like to work with as colleagues?
That's rough.
It's hard after, you know, after such a long course, and now so many months, it's hard to separate, try to remember what I thought from what I actually do.
Just going back, I'm just wondering if you know, did you have this impression that they would be
role model?
Motivated you to become a nurse? Did you kind of think that they were, you know, the common cliches, like they were just angels?
I do. One of the things I really remember, because as I said, I have all these fond memories of nurses who really helped my family out. And I remember showing up to my first placement and my buddy immediately ran the other direction to go do 20 things for a patient. I was kind of like, wait, what? And I felt very kind of left out. You gave a lot of the emotion to your patients and then, just felt a little left in the dust.
Did you find that before you did your first clinical placement, you probably hadn't realized how time critical the job was?
It's all about time. Because before the first placement, I thought, it's just medication and just help the patient to bathroom and stuff like that. But you actually a lot of thing in between.
Yeah.
So you need to think why you give that medication. How often do you give the medication? You need to check all the night, right? And then it's all about working in the team as well. You're not only between you and the patient, also the doctors, the physiotherapists, like dietitian, and it's just whole group. So time critical, time management is really, really important.
I think the other thing all three of you have said in different ways is one of the things people never really understand is that recruitment in nursing doesn't necessarily occur because of advertising or the general image of that the public has. It always seems to boil down to one or two interactions between a nurse and yourself as you're growing up or you know, in your early adulthood and stuff. And that has such a profound... And you read that over and over again in the history of great nurses, that they met one nurse who did something small for them, and suddenly they thought, wow, that's what I want to be.
And I'd probably say with also too, because a lot of society, there's a bit of a glorification of doctors, I'd maybe say, something like that. You know, they're kind of held as like the big thing that, you know, a lot of, you know, little kids say, I want to be a doctor when I grow up, not I want to be a nurse. That it's those little interactions that make you realize the importance of the nurse and realize that, you know, that that's really a role you could do and enjoy.
There was something in one of our lectures when we first began nursing school, was they asked, oh, name some TV shows that are based around medical themes.
Yes.
And you've got Grey's Anatomy, Scrubs, and those kind of thing. And then she goes and said, do you realize that they're all mostly doctor-based? Mm-hmm. There's a very little or small nurse character in all of those shows that you're watching, and yet you want to be a nurse.
Yes.
And... yeah, it was actually a profound moment in that it actually sort of clicked, go, why am I so into all these shows, but yet I want to be a nurse? And I still probably can't really answer that question, because maybe just all of that drama just had it, you know, it's entertaining, but I'd never want to actually live that.
Yeah.
You know, you look at them and they go through all these struggles and it's just, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Yeah. I'd rather be a nurse. But then now you go into nursing, it's like, well, it's actually quite similar in terms of how much drama there is.
Plus half those TV shows, you know, the drama you see happening to the doctors, you're like, the doctor would not be there. It would be the nurse.
I don't think I've ever met a single person who said, I wanted to be a nurse because I saw, you know, such and such on Channel 7.
Yeah, that's right. No, you don't see that.
I just
want
to be like Nurse Jackie. So how did it feel on day one?
I was disappointed, to be honest.
Mm.
Mainly because day one is orientation day.
Ah.
Whereas day one, I want to get in there, you know, get in the trenches and just do stuff.
Yeah.
But I got handed this piece of paper and go, okay, now go around and tick off where you find things. And it goes, where's the exit? And where is the toilet? And, you know, it's just really mundane things.
Yeah.
And it was 8 hours of mundane things. And it was just very lackluster.
Oh, no.
The start, I felt, dragged on a little bit. And we had a full 8-hour day of talks of people,
you're just chomping at the bit,
talking at us and explain, going through safety checks and very, very important information, I'm sure, but 8 hours of people talking at you about, you know, what they think it's like to be a grad nurse and that everything will be okay, but just make sure you don't do anything to kill a person. And I found it very disappointing.
Let me guarantee you that for the rest of your career, you're going to find your orientations exactly the same. How long you've been nursing, and no matter where you work, they're pretty much like that.
I'm going to skip from past orientation to actual day one on the ward, because I think, Jane covered orientation feelings pretty well. So program I'm at, they're very good. They don't, you know, just give you 4 patients and say, see you later.
Hmm.
You start your first couple of days as a supernumerary position. Hmm. So you have no patients technically allocated to you. It's kind of like being a student. You're given your buddy nurse and kind of follow them around, kind of take one patient. And, you know, the first time you give your patients medications when nobody else is in the room is a little terrifying, bit exciting. You know, you're just like, oh, no.
Yeah, I never thought about it, but you have a whole series of firsts.
Oh, first time, you know, you write notes and nobody's checked it over and you're just signing RN at the end of it instead of student. And you're
don't have to write a draft before you're allowed to write properly into the actual book.
Yeah.
And the, when you're about to give a Panadol, and as a student you have to have a nurse stuck to you when you're about to give any kind of small medication. And so buddy nurse has walked away. I'm like, where are you going? And they go, you can do that now. you can give it to the patient without me there.
I think that's, you know, people talk about, oh, forgetting what it's like to be a new grad. It's just, I think they forget more than anything that we're not used to responsibility, you know, as a student. They don't let us do anything.
Yeah.
And then kind of getting there that first day. And it's not that they expect us to know everything, but the things they think of as really simple as giving Panadol by your, like giving Panadol by yourself, you're like, no, this is new and like exciting.
Yeah.
A little terrifying, but mostly exciting.
For the first few days to week, I actually had people remind me, you're not a student anymore. Mm-hmm. You're registered now.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about you guys, but I had this moment that I think was day two when someone came up to me and asked me to double check an antibiotic with them.
Mm-hmm.
And my instant feeling was, I can't do that. You know, you need somebody else to do that. And then I stood there, sort of paused in silence for a minute, thinking about this, and I go,
suddenly you thought,
I can do this. And it finally all just clicked.
I have the power.
I have the power. I can do this now. It took 2 days for that to finally go through.
The first time you're given the keys to the drug cupboard and whatnot, like the scheduled drugs, and you're just like, this is real power. I could steal all the drugs.
Like, choral music in the background and a bright light in the sky.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember because my rotation work in the theatre, PACU, I still remember I was working with my preceptor and then she was like, oh, Peter, let's go for a check. I was like, for a check? Check what? And then she was like, fentanyl. I was like, hang on, I'm a registered nurse. I can do that now. So we draw it up. And I'm the one signing that column into the Schedule A book. Mm-hmm. But I still remember the first time I signed it. You know, like when we as a student, we usually just sign in the left side.
Co-signing medications.
Yeah, and then we left the spot, like the spot for the buddy nurse to sign. But we actually can sign a full box now.
Even little things like, you know, the first time, you know, starting a drip by yourself or giving an injection.
Yeah.
You know, even though you know what you're doing in theory, there's not someone there. It's a little terrifying not to have someone there because it's, what if I am doing, even though I know I'm doing it right, what if I am doing it wrong and there's no one to say stop?
That safety net.
You're just really like, oh no.
To giving medication by yourself. So like patient in PACU, I give fentanyl like 10 mic, 100 mic, and then you just push it in and I was like, is it right or wrong?
It's incredibly liberating when I first realized it. Yes. It was just this, you know, that aura, you know, from the heavens. But terrifying but liberating at the same time.
Do you think your training prepared you for it adequately?
I think, like, in my perspective, I think we are, but we're just not confident enough to do it by ourselves, and we are too used to work with a buddy nurse undergraduate. So you just feel like, oh, I assigned that, and then my buddy nurse to double check that. And we too rely on someone else to check our responsibility. But once we click the ANNF things and the nursing board thing, we are actually a registered nurse and we need to take that responsibility, but we're just not confident enough to do it.
I agree with Peter in that we've been trained, and in school there's so much emphasis, make sure you don't do anything by yourself, you're not allowed to do anything, you're not allowed to even touch an IV med pump.
Yeah.
Even to silence it, nothing.
Yeah.
And so we've come out and I think we are prepared in terms of knowledge base and skills, but we're just so nervous about actually doing something by ourselves.
Isn't it funny that happens at like midnight?
Click,
not registered, click registered.
That's exactly what it felt like though. Go, yesterday I was not allowed, now today I am, and it just took
Once you get that piece of paper, you are registered nurse and you have to do everything yourself.
So what's the general structure of your program? Like, is it study days, mentorship?
Yeah. We have five study days throughout the year. And we have, like in a specialty area, you have 2 weeks of supernumerary, 2 to 3 weeks of supernumerary, and then you start working by yourself. And then work in the ward base, you have 1 week and 4 to 5 days supernumerary, and then you start taking 50% load, and then 75, and then 100%.
So we're followed by a preceptorship model where we have 2 or 3 nurses who are our go-to people. We've also got educators who are designated to each ward to sort of be around for you as well. And yes, you have supernumerary days, and what we had, which I understand other places don't have, is that we had what they call a graduated supernumerary time. So you started not taking any patient load for 2 days, and then you have the next week to only look after 2 patients.
Right.
And then the week after, you're looking after 75% load, so 3 patients.
All right. That's,
and then that's after that, then you take on a full patient instead of 2 days nothing, and then after that, bang, go for it. Which I know other hospitals do.
Yeah, that's very common.
But for us, we got to do it that graduated way, which was...
Do you think the program's adequate?
Yes, I think it's very well thought out. I mean, there are downsides to everything, but the way that we were introduced with that graduated way, you've got your preceptors, you've got educators, and we've got... coordinators who run the education team there as well. We've got a very extensive support system, plus that framework is very well thought out. This sounds a bit like my interview now, but this is one of the reasons why I chose to apply to this graduate program. So whereas I understand other programs, they don't have that at all. So comparing that, we're very fortunate, I think.
And what were the staff like that you work with?
Look, I'd probably say, you know, I'm listening to that whole... yes, and I completely agree that the model is a great model. But I think that was also one of the things, you know, if we're talking about the aha moment when you realize you're a registered nurse, there's also an aha moment when you realize, oh, yeah, my coworkers are also... humans too, and you don't get along with every human you meet. So, and then it's sometimes there's maybe a bit of a problem if you're not, you don't get on the best with your preceptor or an educator or someone within that model. It can make things a bit more difficult, and it's not even necessarily the bullying or the really kind of big problems, but just the simple little of, you know, at the end of the day, if we weren't coworkers, we probably wouldn't be friends, and it's not quite as enjoyable to work with you.
So you think a little bit of resilience and a little bit of, you know, self-confidence would help?
You definitely need it. There is this model, but when you have the people executing this model not live up to the standard that is, I don't want to say required of them, but that is needed to give us that support is a bit lacking. It's really disappointing in that you have this expectation of support, but you're not really receiving it.
Right.
And then things happen if you have a question, but you've got nobody around to ask.
Right.
And yet this model is designed to have support always. It's very contradictory in that way. But also, even then, like, nursing is such a busy, it's a busy job. And you have nurses who are there purely to finish what they are there to do. They don't really care about what you need to do when they have to try and finish what they're doing is themselves. So it's really hard to be that person, I suppose, to be adding more work on other people, I guess. When you have a question, they have to take the time to answer you, and they might not have that time. Or if you need a proceed to do something, to do a dressing, and you don't know how to do that, you need to have someone take that time out to show you how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's very time consuming and they don't have time for that. And we were talking before about time management. It's a personality thing, but also a busyness and the nature of the unit as well.
I mean, I think to a certain degree, you know, a lot of times these preceptors and educators are chosen because they're really good nurses. They can follow the policy really well.
Mm.
But just because you can implement everything really well doesn't mean you can teach it really well.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you know, if, you know, so there are people who are great and aren't great teachers. And, you know, inherently in nursing isn't, you know, there's a certain level of you need a teacher patience thing. But you can be a great nurse without being a great teacher. But if you get into a position where you need to teach, it can be hard.
Yeah, and you can be a great nurse, but also not not be able to explain yourself well, but also just not want to explain either.
Yeah.
They're good in what they do, and that's what they enjoy.
They just don't share.
But they don't share it. They don't want to share it.
There's a certain level of, you know, we're the new nurses, we're the grad nurses, and sometimes, you know, we're, I'm nearly halfway through my program, and I think sometimes I can feel the older nurses kind of being like, you've been here for, you know, nearly 5 months now.
Mm.
How come you just don't get this? And I'm like, whereas from my point of view, it's, I've only been here 4 months.
Yeah.
You've been here, you know, 14 years. How do you expect me to know what you know?
Sometimes elderly, I mean, I wouldn't say elderly, some experienced nurse, they just kind of forget the first day.
Yeah.
When you standing at that position, how much stress you have.
Yeah.
And I mean, we learn all this thing at university, but we are only book smart. Not necessarily mean we are able to put it into practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, when we deal with this situation, it's a reality situation. You don't want to do something wrong for the patient, for patient safety. Yeah,
this is the point of the podcast, is to try and remind people that what it was like to be a new grad, that you can't pick up 20 years of experience in 4 weeks.
So every time when I buddy with someone's at the beginning of the shift, I would tell them that, look, I'm a grad nurse. I might have a lot of questions you need to ask, and it would be appreciated if you can stop and answer my questions.
Yeah.
And I think it's more about communication with them at the beginning of the shift as well.
Another thing I want to raise is that in nursing, we're all a team. Like we, on whatever ward or unit we're on, we all work. It's very team-based. And then you have a new person thrown into the mix who's just come out of school.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a trust issue as well.
Yeah.
Can they trust me to actually safely look after a patient? And I feel like when you first go in and they don't know anything about you, the instinct is to not trust you. And so they will treat you in one of two ways, either with kid gloves. So, do you know how to check somebody's temperature? And it's like, well, yes, I'm registered. But then there's also the no kid gloves at all, but just cast you to the side.
Just whip out that swan games.
It's but also just like we can't trust you. You're not quite good enough to really help us on the team. What good will you provide, I guess?
Yeah. Thing about those first few weeks then? What did you feel like at the end of the day?
I felt like a burden, really.
Yeah.
Where I felt like I was wasting people's time, and even though I had my job to do, I was affecting everybody else's ability to do their job.
Right.
And that was a really hard thing. You know, you go home and I felt pretty awful. Because, you know, you want to go home feeling like I helped this patient, but you don't. You go home feeling I hindered this nurse today.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but that's probably one of the biggest emotions that was, and still even to this day, I still feel that on some days when I work with certain people. And yeah, it's really hard to get over that.
Yeah.
And you know, you're meant to have this support system and you work as a team, but for some people who just aren't interested or just treat you in a way where you are not a valuable person on this team, it hurts.
Yeah,
especially because you first into the wall and you are not fit into their working culture yet, and they have their own way to do certain things, and which when you're undergraduate, you might learn this kind of way to do thing in other hospital. So when you go there and you do your way like other hospital, they will pick on you. They will be like, oh, we don't do this stuff. So at the end of the day, you just feel really bad and you just...
Going on from that, or even when you're taught something in school and it's the new best practice way, and so you go ahead and do it that way, and an experienced nurse will say, no, that's not how we do it here. We will do it this way. So the question is, do we question that practice and say, well, no, we've been taught this, the rationale is this, versus risking coming off as a person who's second-guessing an experienced nurse and essentially burning that bridge by pointing that out?
Yeah, that's definitely tough. I've heard that, and you hear that a lot, is do I bring this up and risk my relationship with all of my colleagues?
Yeah.
And often it's just not worth risking the relationship with colleagues, and that's how cultures develop.
When you get taught by one preceptor, this is how we do it, and then another preceptor say, no, this is how we do it. So there's no hard and fast way to do anything, but every nurse that you come across, this is the hard and fast way to do it.
Yes.
So how do you, so for me anyway, I've just nodded and grinned and said, okay, this is how we do it. And later on I'll go away and do whatever way I choose to do.
Well, I've found it hard with not just what you think is right from your studies and what, you know, the nurses are telling you, but sometimes you'll have the education team telling you one thing and then the ward nurses telling you another thing. And it's like, well, I have to, like, you know, you're going to get in trouble with one of your superiors and you're just stuck between a rock and a hard place. Yeah.
So, like, how do you handle stress?
Who do we?
Are you slowly melting down? I mean, do you have something when you go home? Like, you know, I mean, I've always been a big fan of red wine.
Yeah.
So am I now.
Like, the way I release stress is I put on a headphone and just put on some relaxed music, and during the weekend I do some cycling so that I don't need a thing of the hospital thing anymore, and I don't want any distraction from others, because I mean, in a hospital based setting, it's so busy, you have to deal with a lot of people. I mean, 8 hours doesn't sound really long, but it actually, you have done thousands of things within that 8 hours, and when you go home you want to be your own. Like, I don't want to talk to my girlfriend, I don't want to talk to anyone, I just want to be myself and relax.
Which is, you know, the just personality difference. I find I almost need to be around people, not nurses, not healthcare people. I want to be as far away from them as possible, but I'm lucky where I live with a couple of housemates and a partner who none of them are in healthcare, and I like hanging out with them
about feeling meaningless anyway to them, isn't it?
So,
you know, you can't start going, I just had so many problems today with my warfarin levels.
I find probably 5-10 minute debrief with my partner after every shift where I would say, this happened, this is why I'm annoyed, and half the time I can see his eyes glaze over and goes over his head.
And one of the challenging thing for healthcare professional is we can't really complain about patients in front of others, because we have
confidentiality. Me and Peter, we've after certain study days we've gone out for drinks, and it was a really great time for us to just unload our, you know, whatever story, because what happens between grads stays within grads, and we were able to just, you know, dish out everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, going home, I could like Sue, I could tell my partner and say, I've had a really awful day.
Yeah.
And they would hear about it, but it would just be glazed eyes.
Yeah.
But
they don't understand.
They don't understand. And so you would have to try and find other ways. And oftentimes it would be going through just exercising and working out that stress. Or I've had a few moments of just going into a corner and crying my eyes out and just letting that tension try and get out.
I'd say at least 90% of the grads I know have at least had a good cry at some point.
Yeah.
One of the girls broke down in our study day. We just finish every study day with a quick debrief and go around. How are you going? And just got there and she's like, it's fine. Just started crying. Yeah. And, nobody saw that as, she's a bad nurse or, something traumatic. Everybody just kind of immediately recognized that as, oh, yeah, I know that stress. I have been there. Yeah. So,
Have you ever felt alone?
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
By nature, you understand that, they wouldn't want to put all the grads on a shift together because, we are all new. We need this extra support. So there's never more than one grad per shift, which is fine. But to be honest, in the entire year, you have 5 days with the other grads. I personally, even though there were people from my course who are in my program, there's kind of two different cohorts, and I'm the only one from my program in my cohort.
Yeah.
So I know nobody from my cohort prior to the 2 study days we've had together.
Yeah.
And, just by virtue of being grads together, we'll kind of debrief a bit, but I don't necessarily always feel like there's somebody I can talk to on a day-to-day basis or even week-to-week. It's more of like once a month I get to see someone who will really understand where I'm at.
Has there been a time since you've started that you've really felt you've done something or had an event or an interaction and you thought this was worth it?
I had a patient who she had no control over her bowels, and she went in the bed and she saw what she'd done and she was so horrified she threw up on herself, and we needed to clean her up and walk her over, and again nobody was around, nobody was available, so it was just me. And I did everything I could to help her. I gave her whatever medication was available, and I would apply creams, make sure her skin wouldn't break down, and I would give her emotional support and just explain everything that I'm doing. And at the end of that, her daughter actually pulled me aside after, and she said to me, "Do you know you're her favorite nurse?"
Hmm.
And I said, "I have been doing this for 2 months. I'm a nurse for 2 months." And she goes, "Doesn't matter. You're her favorite. And I just wanted you to know." That made it all worth it.
Yeah.
I had a patient who I had had a late early, and so I had picked him up. Actually, it was like late early or something like that. Because I picked him up after his procedure, he'd been really unwell and everything, just drain tubes and all this, just feeling sick and nauseous and just unwell. And kind of over the next 2-3 shifts and whatnot, he improved, and I was kind of there the entire time. And, we got on, we talked a little bit and everything, but I didn't think I was doing anything, I suppose, super amazing, but I thought I was, I was happy about I didn't think I was making any mistakes. I felt very confident that everything was good. And then just as he was getting discharged, I'd finished all of his paperwork, and, a lot of times you always feel a bit sad with discharge patients because there is no big goodbye or anything. Half the time it's like, okay, your paperwork's done, all the best, bye, and then you have to run off and do 50 other things,
yeah.
Which is what happened in this case. Except, so I ran to another room. I was doing a bunch of things for a different patient. And one of the nurses stopped and was like, stopped in the room and said, can you go see this patient? I was kind of like, hasn't he left yet? But I made my way to his room and he was like, I couldn't leave before I told you. Thank you so much. This was, you, like, I was really anxious about this surgery and you've just made this whole process of getting better.
Yeah.
So much better. And I was just, I was very happy.
I think as a nurse, I think the job satisfaction is really, really well. And that that is the reason why I still like nursing, although I've worked not for too long. Is when I work in theatre, patients come out, it's the first time having that kind of surgery and first time having their general anaesthetic, and they don't understand the process afterward. But as a nurse, we have the responsibility to just tell them that what's going on. And although a simple sentence such as the patient's complaint of pain, and then I said, it's all right, I'm here, be with you, and I can do everything for you. That is a simple sentence, but make their life and their feelings so much more release of stress.
There's really nothing I'd rather be doing. This is, at the end of the day, for all the bad aspects of it, I do love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I think about my friends and whatnot who work 9 to 5 behind a desk all day, and that just seems so terrible to me. So prefer what I'm doing.
Yeah. You know, I absolutely agree, it's a tough job. And I don't think most people appreciate how tough it is. And it's emotionally draining and it's physically demanding. But at the end of the day, it makes a huge difference to the whole world.
Yeah.
And you guys are starting in your careers, and you'll change the way we do things. And you'll change the culture of the job. Whether you like it or not, you will, because you're part of it. And I'm hoping that people listening to this podcast understand that it isn't easy being a grad, and you know, maybe we can all work a little harder to make your lives a little easier. Thank you very much to Jane, Sue, and Peter for coming in and sharing your experiences. I think you are extraordinary, and it's been great to talk to you.
Thank you.
This is the AusMed Handover Podcast. My name is Darren Wake, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this program, then I encourage you to leave comments and reviews and subscribe for future episodes.